Why, yes, I am a Colorado grizzly bear. My kind has called the San Juan Mountains home for millennia. We keep to ourselves, mostly. Sleep a lot, eat a lot of root.
Ouch!
Okay, I've just been shot. Anyway, as I was saying, we eat roots, mostly, a lot of grubs. Okay, another shot, a lot of blood. We like to eat grubs, generally keep to ourselves. Okay, just want to let you know this is the Colorado Grizzly episode. Hope you enjoy.
Bang, bang, bang!
Okay. That's it. Hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to Extinction Events. I'm Melissa, here with Jack.
Hello.
This is the Colorado grizzly bear episode. If you recall, last episode, I asked you to watch Grizzly Man in preparation for this episode.
Yes.
And did you?
Yes.
Yes, you did. And I did as well. Should we just get that out of the way?
So we're just diving right into the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I've been fretting about it ever since I saw it. It's been eating me up.
spoiler alert. Wait, just to set it up.
Okay.
Because some people might not have never seen this Werner Herzog film. He gets eaten by a bear and he's recording it. It's this wacko guy. He goes out to Alaska every year and tries to live with the bears because he thinks they're his friends. And everyone's like, you're going to get eaten until, surprise, he gets eaten. But he takes a ton of video, and there was video going while he was getting eaten.
And I think it's in the 90s that it happened. Early
2000s. Yeah.
Here's my thing about the movie is when I watched it when it came out, I was scared. I remember being scared and worried about them playing the tape, and I didn't want to hear it.
Oh, absolutely. That was my first.
Right.
Watching, you're just like on edge because you're like, is he going to die now? Is he going to die now?
And what's it going to sound like?
Uh-huh.
Then this time watching it, I'm not worried about that at all. I am only taken aback by how disturbed he is. The main guy, Timothy Treadwell.
100%. I think first time watching it, you're just like, you don't absorb anything because you're like, is this where he's going to die and they're going to like jump out and scare me? And the second time, it's just the study in what a wackadoo this dude is.
Yeah, what happened
uh-huh.
to cause him to go down this path?
To think that like these grizzly bears were basically giant beanie babies that he could go collect and be friends with.
Man, one of the profound moments in the film for me was when they're interviewing the guy at the Native American Museum.
Uh-huh.
And the guy's like, I don't know what he's doing going over, hanging out in the bear's habitat. You just don't do that.
Yeah, he's like, that. We have, my people have had an agreement unspoken with these bears for generations where you don't mess with us. We don't mess with you.
Yeah.
And this guy is crossing this line.
Yeah.
And it's, what do you think's going to happen? But that second watch through, he went out there to die.
He won 100%. Absolutely. It's a hard watch.
You can't pretend to know that much about bears and not be like, it's like going out and playing Russian roulette every single day.
Yeah.
It's like, it's going to catch up with you eventually. And that's what happened. Crazy film.
Crazy.
Still very good.
But the reason I wanted you to watch it was I wanted to get you hyped up about how powerful grizzly bears can be, which really probably didn't do it because
it did because there's a scene where two grizzly bears are fighting each other and you're like, yeah, okay, I get how strong these dudes are now and how they could rip your face off.
Okay.
Easily. Easily.
All right. For me, not so much. For me, I just think about, you know, mental health.
Yeah, that too. My favorite part of that film is where, like, Herzog is zooming in, you know, with this camera on this bear's face. It's, like, probably the bear who kills him. And he's zooming in on his face, yeah, like looking at his eyes, and Herzog's like, you know, Timothy thought, seemed to think that the bears were his best friends and that there is a world of understanding and peace between them. But there is not. The universe is a place of destruction and violence.
And he says, all I see is a slightly annoyed bear who is hungrier.
Indifferent to the pain of the world, only looking for his next meal. And and it's so great because he's been in this like guy's world where he's like, the bears are my friends. And then he just lays it out. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at this bear face, you're like, yeah, that's the obvious truth. This bear does not care about you. He just wants some food. He's going to kill you. Probably the best Herzog I've ever done, by the way, right there.
It was really spot on.
Thank you.
Worthy of an Oscar-winning performance.
You know, it's just an honor just to be nominated.
Which, by the way, Jack, you brought some internet trivia to me about Bart the Bear.
I did.
Yeah, a while back. Bart the Bear is a bear who was nominated for an Oscar, or they tried to nominate him.
Oh, this is from way back. What episode was that?
It would have been for the, what was the bear's cast? What bears were those?
Look at the wall.
Oh, there it is. Atlas Bear.
Oh, yeah. So I sent you that after the Atlas Bear episode.
Okay, well, now I'm bringing it up because we're doing the bear one.
Only like 4 months later. Okay, understandable.
He's acted alongside A-lists like Brad Pitt, Alec Baldwin, Morgan Freeman, Dan Aykroyd, Anthony Hopkins. This guy was a big deal.
I don't know if Dan Aykroyd's on the A-list with all those other.
He's on my A-list.
Well, you know, kind of peaked with Ghostbusters.
His Oscar-nominated performance was in a film called The Bear from 1987. And I guess he was just, he did such a good job that everyone wanted him to win an Oscar. He didn't. They were like, sorry, you're a bear. We can't nominate you for an Oscar.
I still find this fascinating. And I think we should be breeding bears for their acting chops.
Mm.
The same way, and I'll bring it up because I said it on that episode, the way that we take pups and we're like, oh, you're going to be a work dog.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, breed steers. Let's get those bears acting. We could have super acting bears. Think about that. We're investing in the wrong technology. I want a best bear actor category in the Oscars. Wouldn't you watch that? Think of the acceptance speeches.
I would, because we just want to harshly judge anything. That's
I didn't realize, nature. But that I think that might be the root. I would love to just rip into bears' performance. Psychologically, you know, tear them apart the way that they could easily tear us apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Today we're reviewing Circus Bear 3, another installment of the famous Circus Bear series, this time featuring Gumball the Bear. Melissa, what'd you think of Circus Bear 3?
It was embarrassing, I think. What happened?
What happened indeed, this was a question both with the plot, with cinematography, and most especially Gumball the Bear's talent seemed to have evaporated overnight.
I don't know if it had something to do with his substance abuse. He's completely checked out.
Yeah, it's such a disgrace to the other bears who have dedicated their lives to the craft.
Yeah.
To see him get up there and let's just say what it is, lay a big old turd on screen, which he did in the movie.
He did, yeah. And I would say that was maybe the most moving part of the whole movie. I think it's time to get started. Would you like to know more about Colorado grizzlies?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it. Colorado grizzly bears are a subspecies of the North American brown bear, just like all grizzlies are. So they're technically a brown bear. but they are pretty distinct from your average brown bear. They tend to weigh more, from 250 to 800 pounds, and could probably get a whole lot bigger than that even. They have more rounded ears, a big hump near their shoulders, more muscular jaws, and bigger claws. All these features combine to make them experts at digging, enabling them to easily dig up dirt and eat roots, because despite being crazy fierce predators, their diet is around 90% vegetarian. The other 10% is usually insects and carrion.
So I'm not seeing a lot of live prey there.
No, not a lot. In their natural environment, it's going to be mostly roots and stuff.
And dead animals.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Grizzlies can also smell a human if it is upwind from them from around a mile away. And they can hear people talking from 300 yards.
I bet you could hear a New Yorker from 500 yards.
But
hey, I'm hiking here. Because they're loud. Get it?
Okay, but grizzlies rarely hunt or go after humans. They choose to avoid contact and run, which they can do at around 30 miles an hour. If they can avoid a human, they will. But if a human is downwind and takes a grizzly off guard, or if you get too close to a mother with cubs, she will stand her ground and fight back. In the last 20 years, around 30 people have been killed by brown bears or grizzly bears.
Okay.
As a comparison, in the last 75, only 2 people have been killed by wolves.
Whoa. You know, throwing shade at the bears.
No, you know, I just got to throw my support for the wolves in.
Mm-hmm. By throwing the bears under the bus. I see.
They hibernate for 5 to 7 months every year, unless you're a California grizzly, in which case you don't hibernate because it's warm enough not to.
Hmm.
But California grizzlies went extinct in the 20s, so.
Oh, so you're hibernating full time now.
Yeah. Jack, do you know the origin of the grizzly bear on the California state flag?
It was kind of an MGM Studios thing.
What?
Where, you know, they had the lion. This was an actor bear. It was before the California raisins. If the California raisins had come 2 decades earlier, please, we'd have the California raisins on the flag. But we don't. We have an acting bear.
I've talked to you about bringing up the California raisins before. It's such a dated...
It could have been on the flag.
No,
I don't know why the friggin' bear is on the friggin' flag.
A while back, 1846, California tried to break away from Mexico, sort of do their own thing, and they designed this flag for the event. It's called the Bear Flag Republic, to represent themselves, and it had this grizzly bear on it. And so they broke off from Mexico for 25 days. That was it. But that's where the bear on the flag comes from.
Cool.
I mean, all right. Grizzlies used to call all of North America home, including Colorado. Today, we are just focusing most of our story around the San Juan Mountains in Colorado, because that's the location of their last stronghold in the state. And it's what we have the most information about. The San Juans are a national park and part of the Rocky Mountains. Starting around 12,000 years ago, we have evidence of people settling in the San Juans. Various cultures will come and go over the next few thousand years. You've got Paleo-Indians, the Folsom culture, the Anasazi. Do these early settlers hunt grizzlies? We don't really know. Probably.
I like how you're going over these like so matter-of-factly.
I figured you just knew all those and I didn't need to...
California raisins is too deep a cut, but the Anasazis are something that everybody knows. Got it.
Eventually, you have the Spanish explorers making their way to that area, and we know they killed at least one grizzly in 1765. Probably a lot more.
How do we know that?
You've got an account and a written account from killing one, you know? Mm-hmm.
You know I don't take those accounts very... I don't know. I need them to be a little more verified because it's pretty easy to say, oh, I killed a grizzly bear today and write it down. And it's a lot harder in practice.
This is true. I can't dispute that. But by the 1870s, Americans will take over the San Juans. And this is when we know the real killing begins. Undisputable, as you will
by
see.
Americans, you mean white Europeans.
Well, they're calling themselves Americans by then.
1870s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. The United States has been around for 100 years, yeah.
These new settlers brought cattle, and they packed the mountains with them, just shoved them in there.
Every nook and cranny.
Yeah. Later, sheep will also come, lots and lots of sheep. So many that they get nicknamed hooved locusts. And they graze, and just overgraze, and generally mess up the whole vibe that had been thriving there for millennia.
Sounds like me at any party.
Also, they are noisy. Not
Sylvie, they're really messing up the vibe. Leave some cocktail weenies for other people. This guy's been grazing at that table.
But I was moving into that they're also noisy, and I know that's how you are not at a party. You are quiet.
Who's reserved. A noisy grazer? No. That kind of goes against grazing.
They bleat. You know that sound that they make?
I would like you to make it.
It's like a...
That's right? Pretty good, yeah.
It's a very whiny noise.
It is.
Right? Yeah.
Like, you're counting sheep to go to sleep, right?
Yeah.
But the noise they make is pretty much the opposite of that.
Right. And there's research that's been done about that noise, and sometimes it's referred to as a primordial whine, because I guess this noise just drives predators crazy.
What?
Like on an elemental level. Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know if it's driving them crazy in a good way or a bad way, like if it's nails on a chalkboard, but they are just lured in by this sound.
It's so pathetic that they have to die, basically.
Yes.
Predators are like, look, I don't want to kill you, but you're really forcing my hand here.
Yeah. Jeez. Hey.
Hey. Oh, hey. I didn't see you there. I was just bleating.
Yes.
Not bleeding, but bleat.
Bleating. Bah. Is that the noise?
Yeah, okay. It's a noise that I make pretty often. I kind of love it. It's my thing.
You like that noise. Bah. Okay.
Try and work it in everywhere I can. Really.
Yeah, bah. I know. It's all any of us out here in the mountains are
good.
Oh, good.
I love it. It's so good, right? The way it goes.
Oh, jeez. It's like a...
Because it starts with the ba, and then it keeps going with the And I can't get enough of it.
It's maybe the most annoying sound I've ever heard, and it just doesn't stop.
Really?
Yeah. You guys just keep it down, maybe? Because I'm literally going insane. Oh, my.
Look, I'm trying to keep it in. It just, but I...
Look, I don't want to have to do this, but I'm thinking about ripping you in half.
Bah.
Just to make it stop. I just need to get some sleep. I've been awake for days.
Okay, well, I appreciate you telling us, bah. And I guess that's your prerogative, and you gotta do what you gotta do, bah.
All right.
Do you mind if I bleat while you kill me?
Oh, please don't.
Bah.
Please don't. For the Colorado Grizzlies, these noisy sheep were about to turn their world upside down. The sheep whine, the grizzlies shut them up.
Doing everyone a favor.
They help themselves to some sheep. So the sheepmen lose some sheep, and they're freaking minds. They decide, yeah, these grizzlies and also the wolves, they gotta go. They shoot as many of them as they can. Sometimes they're going to hire a freelancer, a freelance hunter, a trapper to take care of it for them. And if you recall from past wolf episodes, people who go after wolves are called wolfers. Mm. And if you are someone who goes after a bear, that's called a bear man.
Bear man.
Other people will shoot the bears, casual hunters, sportsmen, and other explorers will kill the grizzlies. But that's really going to pale in comparison to what the sheep and cattlemen do. And the grizzlies take a big hit.
I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
The sheepmen, as you referred to them, probably ranchers.
Yes.
They wanted nothing more than to kill the sheep themselves. But they can't because that's their livelihood. But, you know, you hear this whining and you're whining and you're whining.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as the bears came along, they're like, there it is. We can kill them. So they can't kill the sheep.
Ah, it's a little loophole.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's messed up. Jeez.
Working theory. You know, I'm still diving into it.
Deep. I have a little treat for you, Jack.
Okay.
It's a bounty.
Hey.
Bounty system.
Our old friend.
Yeah. The ranchers set up a bounty system, and they also hit up state and federal government for money to help do it. And so this money attracts the professionals.
The professional bear man.
The bear men roll in to the San Juans. And they got one thing on their mind.
I'll give me three guesses. Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
Grizzlies. They come for the grizzlies. How does one kill a grizzly, you ask?
Oh, well, how does one kill a grizzly, I asked.
Well, you have the classic cartoon leg hold trap.
What?
You know.
What are these words that you just said? Still leg hold trap?
Steel.
Oh.
Steel is a hard word for me to say.
I think the word you're looking for is bear trap.
It's the big one. It's got the...
Leg hold trap.
Leg
hold. No. They're just called bear traps.
It's bear traps.
People know what you're talking about.
Well, they're all going to be bear traps, but this specific one that you see in the cartoons is the one...
It's a big chomper jaw. You step on it. Kunk.
Right, and they put something in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You can also gas their dens. You know, throw some gas in there.
Stand up wind of them.
If you find a den with cubs in it, you can just drag the cubs out and, you know, you...
Go on.
I'm not going to go into what...
I don't understand. You're dragging cubs.
You know what? There was a section that came after that I looked up, and it was too disturbing for me to write down, and I've actually... I don't even remember what it was at this point because it was so
gross. Skipped that part of the book. You're like, then they dragged the cubs out, and you went... Flip, flip, flip.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay.
So just to be sure, in your research, we don't know if maybe some of these bear men took those bears to prestigious acting schools or brought them to a reserve, but you just assumed they killed them.
I do, because
of the bounty.
This bounty, you got to, the way you get the bounty is you got to bring the ears in. You know how it goes. We've done this before. You got to cut the ears off. And take them in for the bounty. Mm.
Good to know.
Yeah. So you also have what's called a keg trap. Keg trap. And how that works is you hammer a bunch of nails into a beer keg, basically. You put some bait at the bottom of the keg and then leave it in the woods. When a bear comes along, it sticks its head inside of the trap. And it gets trapped in there and slowly dies. Brutal.
Wait, so you're talking like... Winnie the Pooh getting stuck in a honey pot.
Mm-hmm. But it's got nails in there.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I'm assuming the keg's probably attached to a tree as well, so it can't move. Brutal stuff, guys.
I'm still thinking Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, good. You
know, he's like walking around with this barrel on his head. And it's kind of funny.
Wow.
But I guess it's pretty dark, too.
You think that's where it came from?
Maybe.
Wow. There is a more humane way that they they can kill bears, and it's with a cyanide gun. I know. Basically, it's this baited barrel, and inside the barrel, instead of a bullet, is cyanide. At the other end is bait. And
so you put the bait at the end of the barrel.
Yeah.
The bear comes up to your gun, puts his mouth on it, and then you blast a cyanide.
You're not there. It's just its own contraption. When the bear bites the bait, it triggers this barrel, and it goes off into his mouth. And apparently a bear dies within seconds of getting the cyanide.
Hmm. You know, a bullet would do the same trick.
but you're not standing out there waiting in the woods for the grizzlies to come, because they typically avoid humans. You probably could be waiting out there for a long time and never run into one.
Unless you're downwind.
Exactly.
Bear man fact right there.
Anyway, back to the bounties. We all know how efficient bounties are. So no surprise, by the early 1900s, grizzlies were few and far between in Colorado. But ranchers were still on a grizzly killing spree. Despite the fact that grizzlies probably weren't a very serious problem, even today, less than 1% of livestock loss in North America is attributed to grizzly bear attacks. But the ranchers are still dead set on killing them. So in 1931, a law gets passed that basically allows ranchers to continue to exterminate predators like grizzlies. I think it's called the Animal Damage Control Act. And that law is still in effect today. It's still. But the thing is, there weren't that many to shoot. You know, every now and then one would get shot, but it's rare.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming the law is helping the ranchers, even though they're almost gone, it looks like, to continue to shoot them.
Yeah, you gotta shoot something. You buy all these guns. You look at them.
You polish the guns.
Clean them, yeah.
Right?
Because you gotta shoot something.
So no one sees one for a while. Then in, I think, 1951, a grizzly bear kills a sheep. And of course, they kill that grizzly. And they think, okay, that's probably the last one. Yay, like, you know, they're finally gone.
Problem solved. Good work, everyone.
And the state declares them extinct.
Yay.
But they also, at the same time, give them a protected status. Or a little bit after that, I can't remember.
This is, and we know this from past episodes, this is a classic move.
Right.
If you're an animal and the government's like, you're protected status, that's not good news.
Right.
It's usually followed by being completely wiped off the face of the earth.
Totally. Yeah.
It's like slapping a clearance sticker on something and everyone's just rushing to get it before they're gone.
So what they're saying is they're officially extinct, but if you happen to see one, try not to shoot it. But, you know,
if you do, we understand.
For a long time, no more grizzlies turn up. Sightings continue. We know how it goes. In this case, what was probably happening is what is called the Stockman's Trinity.
What?
Yeah. Have you heard of this?
It sounds like, what are those? It sounds like a steampunk novel. That's like 10,000 pages.
It goes like this. It goes, shoot, shovel, and shut up.
No.
Yeah.
I'm getting a shirt made. This is like an early ass, gas, or grass. No one rides for free. Shoot, shovel, and shut up.
Probably what was happening is that ranchers were still waging a secret war against these grizzlies. They just weren't reporting it. That's that, you know. And it's probably could still be happening.
Do you think so? Well, I heard that grizzlies are secretly controlling the government. All right, people, quiet down. We all know that grizzlies are controlling the weather.
among several other key government institutions. And first, we're going to hear from Melissa, who has come up with a plan to turn herself into a grizzly and try and infiltrate their ranks.
Yeah, I got the suit. So I, you know, my plan is to put the grizzly suit on.
And can you tell them about the part where you're going to get the grizzly musk?
Well, I already got that going on. You didn't notice, I guess. I got to work on that a little bit.
And you're gonna spray yourself in it so you smell like a grizzly while you're in the suit?
Planning on rolling in some roadkill before I head up. And I'm not going to shower. I haven't been showering. Yeah.
Great plan. Everybody, I think this is going to really help us along the way to have a mole inside the grizzly ranks. Oh no, it's raining again. Damn grizzlies!
So we think they're gone. But then...
Oh, she did it again.
The wise man bear.
The what?
It's called the wise man bear. Another bear. Another grizzly. In 1979, this guy named Wiseman crosses paths with a grizzly without even knowing it. He's not going after grizzlies, or so he claims. This bear has been surviving in the San Juans without detection for around 20 years. So Wiseman is out in the mountains bow hunting, and all of a sudden this bear comes after him out of nowhere. There's a struggle. The bear tears up his leg, then he starts going for his shoulder, but Wiseman is like laying on his side all curled up, mm-hmm. which is what you're supposed to do in that situation to protect your vitals. Somehow he manages to grab one of his arrows and jab at the bear with it, lays a real good jab. The bear lets go, lays its head down on a log.
Yeah.
With his hand on his...
Like he's doing a cutesy a senior photo. Yes. JCPenney, got it.
And dies.
How dramatic.
Yeah.
Do you think this was an acting bear? This sounds very planned out.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah. Because I've seen a picture and it looks... exactly like you're saying, a JCPenney photo.
This Wiseman bear, he planned out this whole death.
He knew it was his time.
Because a lot of things aren't adding up in this story.
Yeah.
One, bears don't attack humans very often.
Exactly.
And here he is going after this human and letting him live long enough to get poked by an arrow, and that's going to kill him? I've seen grizzly bears fight. It's a lot more than a pokey arrow. I bet he did one of those, like, he put it in his armpit, and then he's like, oh, you got me.
Yeah.
And was stumbling around and, like, put his back of his paw on his forehead, and is like, oh, is this the end for the Wiseman bear? Oh, it's my long days and nights of loneliness finally over. And he did some, like, Shakespeare soliloquy, and then gently rested his chin on a log. It's... good night.
Where good is night. The Oscar for this bear?
I love how dramatic bears are.
It's I so do fun. Too. But your theory might not be that crazy, because for a long time, nobody believes this guy's story. They make Wiseman take a lie detector test. I'm not joking. To prove that he actually killed the bear in self-defense. I guess they thought that he was actively bow hunting the bear. But also, yeah, it sounds like a crazy story.
Right.
He does pass the lie detector test. Whew. So I don't know.
So but, this story is 100% valid.
Yeah. So later they do discover that bear was pretty old and that it had some teeth issues, some arthritis. So maybe that's why she went down so easy. But maybe she was just ready to go. Just wanted to make a good show of it.
She's trying to make her exit.
They also do a genetic study on the Wiseman bear and other specimens from that area, and it turns out that the San Juan grizzlies have a unique genetic makeup that differentiates them from other grizzlies. So they were probably their own subspecies. Anyway, after the 1979 incident, they declare them extinct again. They're like, okay, that was it.
And I love that phrase, extinct again, because it's shown up so many times in this podcast. Also, it's like, you know, the famous Hemingway short story.
Which one?
For sale, baby shoes, never used.
Oh.
Right? Like, oh, Hemingway was challenged to do a story in 6 words.
Yeah.
Extinct again. 2 words. Already more dramatic. I think it beats it out.
What do you mean?
No, I'm just saying it beats out the Hemingway story by 4 words.
Oh, it beats out the Hemingway story.
Uh-huh. By 4 words. Extinct. Again. Whoa.
Dang.
I know.
Yeah. So they search for more grizzlies. They don't find any. Sightings continue, et cetera, et cetera. Same story we've done a million times. Mm-hmm. But likely this time they are really gone. But they say there are areas of the San Juans that humans have never been to. So there might be bears in those areas.
Acting their hearts out.
So what happened? This time, the ranchers killed them with the help of tax-funded money. The ranchers just kept
blasting them, giving them the old cyanide pill.
All the bear men were coming. The bounties kept happening.
Give the people the gratuitous violence they came to listen to. Melissa. They were pumping them full of lead. They were skinning their ears off.
It was happening all the time. For a long time. They were systematically.
Round the house, slaughterhouse of bears.
Yeah.
Until none.
That's why I'm giving it to the ranchers.
Ranchers win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if there are some grizzlies left, it would be hard to protect them because the ranchers don't want them back.
Mm-hmm.
They would just kill them again. One solution put forth has been to set aside an area, just a small little area that's a hunting-free zone and a sheep-free zone where they can live without being driven crazy by the sheep or being shot at.
Mm-hmm.
Probably won't happen. The ranchers would just lose their minds again.
Uh-huh.
You know, a little area for them? What are you talking about?
Well, good luck trying to keep the bears confined to a little area.
You never know. You won't know if you don't try.
Here's my idea. Set up a stage.
If you set the stage, they will come.
Yeah. Put a spotlight on. They're not going to go too far away from that spotlight.
Oh, man.
Give them the theater. They will not stray. On this, I promise.
Extinction Event is proud to support Prehistoric Times Magazine. Prehistoric Times Magazine is... Oh, usually you interrupt. I'm sorry. Usually you interrupt me.
I want to know about this. I'm doing a little research.
It's got dino stuff. If you collect dino figurines, it's got that.
Just writing this down.
What else is in there? There's a lot of artwork from fans, but also...
Any sword fighting?
Sword fighting. No, I don't.
Listen, I'm going to stop you right there. Uh-huh. I was taking notes because have you heard of medieval times?
Of course.
Where you go have dinner, have a show, you know, the knights fight, you eat some whole chickens and drink some grog. It's like that. I'm starting a new show. It's called Prehistoric Times.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I got to talk to the guy at the magazine because of the name similarities, but mine's completely different.
Okay.
And, there are going to be dinos.
Real dinos or?
Well, they're horses.
With costumes on?
Yeah, they have some costumey stuff, and there will be, I know this isn't to the era, but there will be some cavemen riding on the horses.
Yeah, that's pretty
You kind of have to use your imagination with the dinos, because they will be horses. And these cavemen will be wearing armor that's shiny. But the meal is going to be so authentic to prehistoric times.
Like naked.
There's going to be these whole chickens and this drink named after this guy, Grog, from prehistoric times. So come on down, meet me in the parking lot of medieval times, and I'll show you how to get in the back.
Oh, okay.
And that's real prehistoric good times. Yeah.
Okay. I can't.
But like I said,
that,
you're going to have to use your imagination, because a lot of the horses and everything looks like medieval times still.
Right.
Tell me, Melissa, were there any beer wenches in prehistoric time?
Not that I have come across, no.
Okay.
Okay,
good to know. Well, there are in my prehistoric times, just so you know.
There's nothing prehistoric about your thing. I mean, maybe if you
look,
got
just meet me in the parking lot, bring some money, and I'll get you in, okay?
All right. Okay. Well, I got to wrap it up here. Check out prehistorictimes.com. You could subscribe there. So that was it. You know, another one gone. Colorado Grizzlies. I tried to keep it not very brutal, because I read some crazy bear attacks for the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And,
See, Melissa, this is where you've made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
People listen to Extinction Podcast for the gory details.
Can I throw one back at you then?
Huh.
One I left out. It's called The Story of Lewis Dawson.
Yes.
So he was, this was old timey. 1800s, who knows? He was mauled by a grizzly. So he's with a group of travelers, and one of the travelers shoots this bear and it just injures him or her and sends him into hiding. Dawson, he comes across the injured bear by mistake, and the bear is like, nope, coming after you now.
I remember last time I saw you folk.
Yeah. And he does. He comes after him pretty bad, mauls him pretty hard.
In a big way.
Yeah, his traveling companions, they shoot him many times before he's dead. And so they take Dawson back to the camp, and he's still conscious, but just tore up. And he said, I am killed that I heard my skull break.
Wow, this guy sounds more dramatic than the other bear.
He hears his skull break while he's being mauled. Can you imagine? Ugh. You don't seem weirded
out. I'm a little shocked.
Okay.
That he would be able to form those sentences. I am killed.
You hear?
I hear my skull break. It sounds like a haiku or something.
I can't imagine continuing to be conscious after that. I guess he makes
it to
the morning.
You go into shock. You're like, whoa, okay. I bet you it's like, I'm a rag doll. I have no, you know, bow or arrow to poke this guy with.
Yeah.
I'm a rag doll. I'm in complete shock. And then you're just kind of like out of body experience. Oh, and you're like,
geez.
Well, that was my skull. Uh-huh. And there goes my skin.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Jeez. And then here come my traveling companions. And they're like, hey, guys. No, I'm killed. I heard my skull break. Okay. See you later. Whoop.
No.
That's my soul leaving my body.
He stays
alive.
The whole night. He doesn't die till the morning.
Mm. Well, that sucks. Yeah. I'd have been like, how about you save one of those bullets for me?
Yeah.
You know, I told you guys I'm dead. I've accepted this. You don't need to drag this out to the morning.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess you got some gore there.
You got to give our listeners some red meat to chew on, you know?
One other thing I was going to say is, I think it's obvious when we do an animal that I'm really scared of or a little bit uncomfortable about.
Uh-huh.
because I...
You were rooting for them to die.
No, I'm not. With bears, grizzly bears, we don't have any business hanging out with the bears, like with Timothy Treadmill there. Like, deep down in my...
Treadwell, not Treadmill.
Treadmill. Jeez.
Oh, with Timothy, 24-hour fitness treadmill.
I know deep down, we don't have any business messing around with them. We need to stay away from them. We don't need to be hunting them. We can see them from a distance and be like, yep.
See, this is where I completely disagree with you. We need to be breeding them for their acting skills.
Okay.
If we don't start breeding them for their acting skills, they're going to be replaced by CG bears. And it's already happened.
Yeah, that's true.
It might be too late, honestly.
All right. Well, that's it. Good episode. Thanks for joining me for another one. Till next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Peg Leg Deer production.